Since you and I have been together last, a lot of things have happened which must be addressed, must be looked at from a biblical worldview lens. But also, to be honest with you, you must know what the Bible says about what's going on in the world around us and not be told by those who would want you to think a certain way that have no Bible in them, but they say, this is the wisdom of the world. This is what you need to know. This is what is happening. You and I have the Bible. And you've come to the house of God where the Word of God is understood. This book that I'm holding doesn't contain the Bible. This book is the Bible.
Amen.
And we are commanded in Scripture to teach it all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation. And I believe, as I've often said, and I say it affectionately, I believe that life has been rigged. What do I mean by that? I believe life has been rigged this way. Whatever happens in our lives, personally, nationally, globally, the answer is in the Bible. Every answer for every question has been provided by God. It's up to us to search and to see the answers in the Bible. And I know that we've seen many hundreds of people coming to Christ these last month or so. And some of you, you might be thinking, wow, I mean, this is, I didn't know church does this kind of stuff. We do Bible. We do Bible. And so I want you to get excited about that. But I also want to encourage you to write really small with your note taking today. So with that, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to read through several sections of Scripture together, but let's all stand, as today we have a special message, and it's really in light of the Middle East peace talks and agreements and what the Bible has to say regarding the world around us. And once all these remarkable events stop happening, we'll get back to the book of Romans. How about that? Today's message is titled, Vision in the Night. Vision in the Night. And so, again, we're going to read several sections. I'll read the first section because it's only one verse. But when they put the second section up, will you pick it up on your own? Will you do that?
Sure.
Can you do that?
Yes.
So I'll read this. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, this is God speaking. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Wow. Verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Next passage.
For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me.
I'm sorry, folks. That's got to put a smile on your face. That is God. Have you ever seen God flex? That's how he does it right there. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. John 13, verse 9. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Next verse. You guys got it. Okay, I've got this next one, John 16, verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when they come to pass, you may remember that I told you of them. Next one's yours.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Wow. Woo! For those of you who don't know, those were the words of Jesus. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us out of your word and that today, though it be very controversial, we are excited about it because truth is controversial. And we are a people of truth and we live in a world of lies and the line has been drawn. And God, we just thank you that we can have boldness, we can have assurance because you are on your throne. Everything in the world is going to follow the path that you said would happen. All these things are a warning to the world and an exhortation to us to be looking up, to be ready, to be watching, and to be walking with you. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated, church. And again, I'm going to go fast today. You'll see the reason why in a moment. I don't normally go fast, but I'm going to go fast today. And I want to give you the exhortation behind what you just read a moment ago. From Old Testament to New Testament, Yahweh God announces to Israel in the book of Isaiah, you read it a moment ago, I'm God, there is no other God, I'm God, I'm the Savior, there's no other. On top of that, I tell you about things before they happen. I speak to you about future events, and when they take place, you will remember that I am the Lord your God. He said, there's none like me. And what sets me out from all of the gods of the pagan world is that I know the future in advance. Your Bible is a prophetic book. Your Bible is as clear or more so. You think about picking up binoculars and looking. We have binoculars all over our house because even though we live in the residential area of Chino Hills, we got wildlife all over our house. I don't know what it is. It's like a magnet. My neighbors, they live right next to me. No wildlife goes to their house. It all comes to our house. And I've got binoculars so we can look at these birds and we can look at these animals, and it's crazy. But every time, God bless her, she's amazing, Lisa will pick up the binoculars to look at that skunk or squirrel or hawk or bird, and she goes, I don't see a thing. I don't understand. How do you use these things? I don't get it. And Lisa and binoculars, they just don't get along. But thank God that when Lisa picks up the Bible, she can see perfectly clear. Thank God when you pick up the Bible, we can see perfectly clear. There's no adjusting that we have to make. There's no wiping of the lens. And so as we go through the study today, it's very important. You saw the QR code there a moment ago. You should have scanned it. I noticed many of you don't. Can you put it back up, guys? I'm like Vanna White right now with this. Can you guys scan this? You're going to want to scan this because by the time we come to the end, you're going to say, man, I wish I would have scanned this. What does that do? When it pops up, go into your phone mode on your, camera mode on your phone. Tap on the little yellow bar and you'll have all of the notes. You'll have all my notes because the Lord knows I cannot keep to my notes. And you'll have them and it will make sense when you look at them later. But you're going to want all these verses that we've got today. So the point of exhortation is this. In light of the nature of the God that you and I worship and the world that's going on around us right now, what are we supposed to do? It's pretty exciting and thrilling. If you listen, the Bible tells us, Jesus speaking again in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus says, be careful because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Wow. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. By the way, in the Greek study of this, that would exclude you. It means this, in the laws of biblical interpretation, whoever Jesus is talking about, when he makes the statement right here, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth, it excludes the believer. Did you hear that? All this stuff is coming upon who? Those who dwell on the face of the earth. You and I do not dwell on the face of the earth, the Bible tells us. You and I dwell in heaven. We may be living here right now, but our citizenship is in heaven. It's very, very technical talk. You might want to research that later and study it well. And then he goes on in verse 36. Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen. Wow. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. That's a strong word of deliverance from the wrath of God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Jesus said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made him ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing, that is watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and then Jesus goes on to say the things that befall those who are not watchful. Christian, I speak to you today to encourage you. You and I are to be watchful. How are we to be watchful? By having Bible open, Word of God in the heart, and by looking at what's going on in the world around us. And there's a lot going on in the world around us right now that the Christian should be very, very familiar with, even though some of these things have never happened before. How is that possible? Because Jesus told us these things in advance.
Amen.
It's kind of like sneaking in and spying on something, huh? He's given us foreknowledge in these things through the Word of God. But I mentioned the title, A Vision in the Night, or maybe you thought of night vision, which is fine. Listen, night vision allows you to literally see things that the naked eye cannot see. Night vision. I've seen night vision in operation in Israel in certain situations that I was allowed to be in on, and we saw this incredible night vision that was deployed. I've had a chance to fly with law enforcement here in the States, and yeah, you can do more at night with night vision as you'd look down at the crime scene from a helicopter and the night vision is employed. It's remarkable. Did you know that the United States, Britain, Israel, there are a handful of nations that really like to prosecute any mission or war daytime or nighttime? Nighttime. You want to know why? Because technology allows us to see better at night. God's word allows us to see better at night. The darker things get, the brighter it becomes for the believer. The darker it is. We say, oh, it's so dark. Yes, but listen, it is dark, and we're going to talk about that today. But the darker it gets, folks, listen. Were any of you here yesterday? I know this is first service. You got home late last night. Did you see, listen, talk about dark. There was a manifestation outside of this church yesterday that really speaks about the invisible dark world that is moving in the invisible realm. There were protesters out here. There was Free Palestine people chanting, cussing us out. I got called. I went out there to say hi. I got cussed out. It was awesome. And then there was a group, the No Kings people, whatever that is. They're protesting and all this stuff. And they had so many places to go in all of the world, and they came here. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's an honor. That's an honor because we believe in the Bible. And listen, the Christian doesn't have to be afraid of the dark. Listen, now that I'm old, we have a nightlight on so that we don't fall over something. Lisa and I, at our age, we're not afraid of the dark. Now we're afraid of a marble or something on the walk. That's the problem. But we have a night light so we can see in the dark. But listen, spiritually, because we're Christians, there's a light that is the light of God's word, the Holy Spirit that is in us, and the world that is around us. We can see things people cannot see. And so there were protesters out there that I don't take seriously. What I take seriously are the spirits behind them, the invisible things, which are remarkable, if you think about that. And we've got night vision. And God allows us to see through his spiritual technology, if I can put it that way. Very quickly, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, which is beautiful, it means even if it's absolute darkness around you, you're still walking in the light. Think of it. Physical darkness means nothing to God. It's spiritual darkness that which Christ came to the cross, died there for us to set us free. Isn't it wonderful to think that as a believer, Jesus said that if you die believing in me, yet shall you live? That we'll never see darkness. Even when we're dying, we had a pastor, you know Pastor Ron Rose. Yeah. Pastor Ron was praying with someone this week at the hospital. And while he was praying for Brenda, she went into the arms of Jesus while he was praying for her. So if we send Pastor Ron to your bedside the next time you're sick, be thou encouraged. No, kiss all your family and get ready to go. Jesus awaits. No, but she went into glory in that moment. There's no darkness for the believer. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that where the sin is removed, there's light. Where sin is present, there's darkness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible tells us, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And all God's people said, amen. Amen to that. Mark it down in your note taking. Number one, vision in the night means this. It means that we see what others cannot. You are a Christian. You are a Christ follower. You are a believer, and you can see things that others cannot. And the first thing that we want to say about this is to understand that the Bible itself, God's word, is the ultimate authority. And this way, we put it and explain it, and that is a self-qualifying nature of the Bible. The Bible itself, here's what's awesome. Friends, listen. A lot of people think like they need to defend the Bible. I have never read anywhere in the Bible where you're supposed to defend the Bible. What you're supposed to do is unleash the Bible. Unleash it. You're to know it, but listen. Think of the Bible. Remember, the Bible says of itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it is alive. The Bible is alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is alive. It's not a book like any other book. This book lives and breathes, and this book absolutely is the authority of God. The will of God has been revealed to man, and it's called the Bible. God has given it to us. Understanding this, that this book lets us in on what God's plans are and what God wants us to know about him. But when we talk about his book being the authority, think of it this way, that it is self-qualifying nature, meaning the Bible almost eggs you on to challenge it. For example, in the area of giving, what does God say in the area of giving? God says, if you give to me, I will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of abundance. What does that mean, translation? It means whatever you give to God, God will never be indebted to you. Because he will turn around, and whatever that means to God, he'll bless you with health, or he'll bless you with family. I don't know what it is. It's up to him. But you can't outgive God. That is an authority of the scripture. But also this, the Bible says the future in advance, and it's called Bible prophecy. And listen, it's best not to go against what God has said. You can get hurt. Don't try to take God's revealed future plan in the Bible and rewrite it. You're going to get in trouble. The Bible tells you over and over again, don't tamper with my word. Why? Because it's his authoritative word. And the Bible challenges you to study it and then to see if these things are true. It has a self-qualifying nature to itself. You may be a great doubter in the Bible today, and that's okay, but listen, don't stay there. Find out. Get your doubts answered, and you will be impressed with the veracity of the Bible in whatever area, science, archaeology, even technology. You'll be shocked to find out what the book of Daniel has to say, for example. Did you know it was the book of Daniel that said in the last days, men will travel to and fro across the earth? Think about that. Did you know the Bible speaks in technology? We'll talk on it if I get to it. About in the last days, there'll be no more currencies in the world. There'll be no more rubles, no more dollars, no more euros. There'll only be one currency, and it will be numerics, numbers. Bible said that. It self-qualifies, and we are to bring ourselves to the understanding of this remarkable, and I might say futuristic word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." A lot of people think the Bible's a joke. "Nor can he know them, because they were spiritually discerned." God's word. So listen, vision, we apply right now from the word of God, looking through the lens of the Bible regarding the current events that are at hand. So here we go. And I got to tell you, are you guys okay, first of all? Can you just take it now? Can you just decide, okay, Pastor, I'm going to judge everything you say against the Bible. But if I say something that your politics, they don't agree with, can you handle that? Just take it. You can leave later. But I'm going to ask you not to disrupt anybody by saying, I hate that guy, and walk out of here. Oh my goodness, there was a woman that was sitting right about over here. She's not sitting there anymore. She was sitting right about over there, and I said something regarding similar type things, and she had to be about 70 years old. And I didn't notice her at first, and then she kind of got up and then kind of sat down, kind of got up. She was looking for something. I thought she'd lost her car keys or something. Maybe she did, but she got her purse and she got her stuff and she stood up and she looked right at me and she gave me a one-way sign, but it was not with the index finger. It was a different finger. And I thought, man, church is the place to be. Wow. Yeah, she didn't like what I said and she wanted to let me know. And she just walked right out. And look, do that later. You can do that at the mall or at the store to me. But it's important. I want you to catch all this because who knows, you could have a change of heart when you hear this all the way through. And so let's apply with the Bible to world events so that we can understand them. So the Abraham Accords. It was very important last week that President Trump resurrect the Abraham Accords, which was started under his first administration, as you well know. And to be honest with you, the initial first term President Trump Abraham Accords were quite impressive. And as you well know, Israel and Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries began to strike up business deals. And the Middle East was prospering and there was peace between Israel and its surrounding Arab nations, the Abraham Accords. And that was quite fantastic. And then all of the drama then ensued regarding his impeachment and all of his indictments and all of the investigations. And a lot of that was muddled up and forgotten. But in the beginning, first term, it was quite impressive. In the Gulf states, for example, loved it. Saudi Arabia loved it, as other countries did. Iran did not love it. They didn't like it. Russia didn't like it. Turkey didn't like it. But countries like Kuwait and United Arab Emirates and Egypt and others, they loved it. They were doing business with Israel. And that was quite an amazing thing. And we all applauded that. We all got excited about that. And then now Trump is in his second term. And the Abraham Accords, in light of the war and all the horrible things that have happened since October 7th, 2023, in Israel and in the Middle East, there's now the resurrection of the Abraham Accords, but they're slightly different this time around. Maybe slightly different is an understatement. But to bring you up to speed, I'm going to show you some graphics so that you'll see this. Make sure I'm not making this stuff up. Trump touts historic dawn of a new Middle East in Knesset speech. I watched that speech. Maybe you did as well. Tremendous words, big words, but because you and I can see... Are you listening? Yes. Because you and I, are you sure? Because now you're, okay. Because you and I can see in the night, we can see in the dark, we can just analyze the headline. Trump touts historic dawn of new Middle East in Knesset speech. Oh, well, there's a new Middle East coming, all right. But it's not going to come about this way. What was he touting? Next slide. News analysis for Trump celebration and a victory lap in the Middle East. It's a great photo op. I'm not knocking it. All of us want peace in the Middle East. But have you read your Bible, folks? Yeah. If you've read your Bible, more specifically, please, this church, if you've read your Old Testament, if you're going through the one-year Bible with us as we're all reading the scriptures together, you even heard it today. You even read it today. God says, I am not going to break my covenant with Israel forever. That's what God said. So I don't agree. Take it up with him. But here's the deal. Look, we're glad about this. We want peace. People need to stop dying. But what do we know when we look through the lens of the Bible? Will there be a new dawn of peace in the Middle East, church?
No.
So how dare you say that? You need to think hopefully. Oh, I'm thinking hopefully, all right. There won't be peace until the King of Peace returns. His name's Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We all want peace, but the Bible tells us in advance they're going to have a lot of treaties about peace, but none of them are going to stick. In fact, let's be honest, even the Antichrist is going to write up a 7-year treaty, and it doesn't stick. Okay, next, do we have another slide? I think we have a couple. Trump celebrates peace in the Middle East after signing Gaza deal, achieved the impossible. We're glad. Here's the sad thing, though. I don't want to get into the side note. Did you know Hamas, when they were not, because of this deal, they were not allowed to kill any more Jews. So do you know what they did? Did you watch? I'm convinced we need to stop playing games. We need to start airing on American television what's really happening. Did you know what Hamas did? Hamas set up their videos, turned right around, and they went after Palestinians and Gazans in their own soil, in their own yard, and started cutting their arms off and their legs off and their heads off, and they video recorded it. While there's peace in the Middle East. We heard last night that there's still missiles flying into Israel and no one's reporting it. What in the world? What's happening? Is this a photo op? I don't know. But it's a start perhaps, but let's be honest. I'm glad that the 20 hostages have been returned home. We are grateful. Let's also remember that over 200 of them were dead or beyond recovery. That is, beyond getting their body parts back. Did you know that Israel released over 2,000 terrorists from prisons back into the hands of Hamas because that was the deal that they had to do? Why? Why, when 3 weeks before we got involved as a nation, as America got involved, the United States got involved, did you know that Israel estimated that it was 3 weeks away from victory, and then we stopped them and interrupted that? Did you know that? Why? I don't know why. The timing's odd. Next slide. How many of, raise your hand, I want to see the old people represented here today. How many of us watch this in real life? I watched it in real life. That's President Jimmy Carter. That is Anwar Sadat on the left. And that is Menachem Begin on the right. And this was the great peace deal, peace in the Middle East between Egypt and Israel. And all was going to be fine. All was going to be good. And everybody clapped. And how long did that last? Next slide. Anybody remember this? Ronald Reagan and Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. That didn't last very long as well. The point that I'm making is that presidents of the United States have been the global tip of the spear for bringing or executing peace treaties regarding the nation of Israel and its neighbors. That's not my opinion. It's a pure fact. You can research it later. Next slide, if we have one. Of course, we all remember this. This is, if I remember right, on the left is the Israeli Prime Minister Peres, I think it is, if I have that right. And on the right is Hussein, King Hussein. His son now is King Abdullah in Jordan. And there was a peace. Now, I gotta tell you, this peace treaty has held with Jordan. Jordan does not want to mess with Israel, and Israel has no reason to mess with Jordan. And when we go to Israel, it's not uncommon for us to go on over to Jordan. All that's fine. I think that might be it. Is there another one? Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Peace treaty, another peace treaty. Mahmoud Abbas on the right, and Barack Hussein Obama in the middle, and Benjamin Netanyahu on the left, and that peace treaty lasted, I think, a couple of months. That said, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. Why Israel? Folks, why? Why Israel? Why the United States always trying to broker a peace with Israel and its neighbors? Or why the UN regarding Israel and the world? Why? Here's why. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. This is nearly a 3,000-year-old prophecy, so you ought to write it down. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples or nations when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all nations. All who heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Coincidence? Interesting. In reality, of what we've just seen in this peace deal, and I'm going to get hate mail for this. Did you take the time to read the 20 points of the peace treaty? Israel lost. Israel lost. Israel loses if you read it. Go read it. Israel loses. Everybody who hates Israel should be really happy about the peace deal. You want to know why? It's all predicated upon Israel, the size of New Jersey. Think about the neighborhood it lives in. It's all predicated upon Israel giving up land again. Always giving up land. Land for peace. Land for peace. But the word peace is spelled wrong. It's P-I-E-C-E. Peace of this land, peace of that land, and maybe we'll have some peace. Those of you who are not Christians, you got to be thinking right now. We're talking about a book that's thousands of years old that is explaining today's news. Should cause you to be a believer. But yeah, ever since Israel was unbelievably attacked on October 7th, 2023. What's changed? Israel was fighting for its existence. Israel was about to secure its existence. And quite frankly, the United States got involved. And history will show what that's all about. You guys, the 20-point peace deal was not created by President Donald Trump. Does anyone know civics enough to realize when it comes to international nations, who's supposed to be involved in crafting such things within the United States government? The president, certainly. Thank you. Many of you said it. Secretary of State, that's his job. Did you know the Secretary of State was gone from this whole thing? You didn't even see him. Why? Why not? We should be asking why. Where was Mark Rubio? He's a good man, loves the Lord. Where was he? Isn't it interesting that two guys took his place? Two non-elected guys, both of them billionaires. And that's Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff. They're the architects of the 20-point peace plan. It's interesting when you dive into that and find out how they personally benefit from the 20-point peace deal. Financially, their businesses, with Qatar as an example, among other nations. What's going on here? At Israel's expense. Is the United States turning its back on the nation of Israel? All nations will eventually. But listen, go, don't take my word for it. Go and see how it goes with nations throughout human history who turned their back on Israel. Have you seen any Philistines running around lately? How about Hittites? Look at all the empires of the world that have gone against Israel. None of them have succeeded. All of them have perished. Did you know that point 18 calls for an interfaith dialogue with all that will promote an atmosphere of tolerance and peace to shift mindsets among Palestinians and Israelis, highlighting peace's rewards. Let me read that again. Number 18 calls for an interfaith dialogue. Interfaith, you can only assume. Muslims and Jews, right? Got that? That will promote an atmosphere of tolerance. Only an American could write this. Completely ignorant of 5,000 years of human history. Like this is some new thought. Let's create an atmosphere of peace. Let's shift mindsets. How are mindsets shifted? Only one way. The Bible says only God renews your mind. Only the Word of God renews your mind. I can feel the hate coming. Listen, this is, if I'm wrong somewhere, you cite it, prove it, print it, and send it to me. Notice this, the shift of mindsets among Palestinians and Israelis. How are you going to do that when the Palestinians believe that Israel should not exist? How are you going to get that figured out? Highlighting peace's rewards. Number 19 calls for the rebuilding of Gaza as the Palestinian Authority reforms itself for success and conditions emerge for a real path to Palestinian statehood and self-rule and honoring their people's goals. Did you know that number 19 was exactly what happened a decade ago when Gaza became its own country all by itself? Did you know 19 has already happened? And you know what happened? History is what happened. They destroyed themselves and then they destroyed Israel. Or attempted to. Number 20, the United States will begin talks between Israel and Palestinians to map a future of a peaceful, thriving coexistence by a two-state solution. Have we not seen this movie before? Now, everybody in America is all cheering because this is how we are. We want it. Good, it's done. Let's move on. Don't want to talk about it anymore. But that's not how the world works, folks. The world works when you and I look at it through a biblical worldview lens. That's the only way we're going to understand this. The Trump effort is noble. However, there's nothing new under the sun. It's not new. I would say this. Israel was tired. Israel was about to fix it. And we stepped in right at the last minute. And we, not only did we step in and do some things, but then we wound up taking credit for the victory. Interesting times, folks, we live in. You say, what are you saying? I'm just saying the Bible's true. The Bible's true, and be careful who you pick sides, because listen, you either pick the side of the Bible or you pick the side of man. And we have to coexist in this sense. We live in this world right now, but let's live biblically. And let's not put our trust, as God warned the people of Israel, don't trust in your chariots and in your horses. You'll be greatly disappointed. The Bible tells us, can you all sit down? This is amazing. Joel chapter 3. Verse 1, behold, in those days, that means in a future time, like now, and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, he's been doing that for quite a while, since 1890. Verse 2, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Okay, now we're talking about the events that follow the second coming. The second coming of Christ when he returns to rule and reign. He will draw the nations, many places the Bible tells us, he's going to draw the nations of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of who? My people, my heritage, Israel. Now listen up, everybody. I'm going to keep reading this verse, but this should shock some of you. Palestine, 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 Palestine. That's all you're hearing. Can you please open your Bible and find the word Palestine in your Bible? You won't find it. It's not there. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation says Israel. So it's kind of coming down to, is the Bible true or is the Bible false? True. You're going to have to decide. God says that they're his heritage. Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. Two-state solution? Dividing up my land? It's going to happen. How do we know? God says, this is why I'm going to judge the nations of the earth, because they divided my land. Is America going to lead the way? Right now, we're leading the way. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. This is pretty intense stuff. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And listen, there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And by the way, if you keep reading, he'll tell you how big it is. It's huge. From the Euphrates River, down to the Nile, up the Mediterranean coast, well into Lebanon, up into Syria. It's massive. What are we talking about? In the future, Israel will be massive, and the throne of government will be in Jerusalem, and the Son of David, he is called, will rule and reign from his throne for 1,000 years. His name is Jesus. Wow. That's coming. That's in the future. It hasn't happened yet. So listen, if God made the promise to Abraham then, and it hasn't happened yet, you should get excited. We're living in the middle of history. It's amazing. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. Leviticus 25, 23. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. It's God's land. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. See or behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. Folks, listen, if you don't like this, you don't like the Bible. It's that clear. And notice the consistency of actions with God and those who seek to destroy it. You got to stop and ask yourself, because look, we're all talking. This is why I'm giving this message today. Every single one of us are bumping into people saying, oh, Israel needs to go away. Israel needs to be done. Isn't it bizarre? Because I would normally ask somebody, are you a Muslim? No. Well, wait, what's in it for you? I just want Israel to go away. Why? They just need to go away. Guys, I think that is like the spirit of demonic activity to think like that. It's amazing to me. So listen to this. Daniel 11:39. We're in, take a dive into the tribulation period. Daniel 11. Yikes. This is yet future. It's during those 7 years that everybody knows about. Daniel 11:39. Thus he... You should circle the word he. If you study Daniel 11, you'll find Daniel 8, Daniel 11, you'll find out who he is. We call him the Antichrist. He's called the son of perdition. He's called the little horn. He's called the idol shepherd. He's called, I call him Mr. 666. Right? That's his number. That's his favorite number. Thus he, the Antichrist, shall act against the strongest fortress with a foreign god. This is interesting because if he worships a foreign god, it implies that he is from or has acquaintance with the true God. He has departed from the true God to worship a foreign god. Right? You can't have counterfeit money in your hand unless there's true money circulating. Make sense? Okay. And so, which he, the Antichrist, shall acknowledge and advance its glory. That's kind of creepy in the world of AI. I'm just thinking, its glory? Could it be something weird? And the Antichrist will cause them to rule over many and divide the land, that is the land of Israel, for profit. For gain. Politics, emotions often get in the way of the truth, folks, and we can't let that happen. Number two in our argument, vision in the night means this: we will know how to live in a difficult day, you and I will. We'll know how to live in difficult times. Once the authority of the scripture has been made clear to us in the study of the Bible and the reading of the Bible, then the next responsible act is to begin to see that the world through the lens of the Bible, meaning that everything that transpires in our world is answered from the scriptures. That's what I was saying about being rigged earlier. Regardless of what the issue or the topic or the problem is, the answer is found in the Bible, always found in the Bible. It's amazing. You can't deny it. Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus talks about that time, listen, yet future. Are you guys okay? You're very quiet. As long as you're listening, that's good. If you're sleeping, wake somebody up. But in Luke 21, it's looking to the future. But I want you to pick up on something. Luke 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Now, we've not seen that. I personally don't plan on seeing that, but be that as it may, this is yet future. And on the earth, distress among nations with perplexity. The word perplexity in the Greek means the nations are going to be in trouble and they will not know how to get out of it. The sea and the waves roaring, atmospheric or even storms. Men's hearts failing them for fear. How come? Why? And the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Wow. You think COVID freaked people out? There's big stuff coming, folks. COVID was a joke compared to what's coming. So you're not encouraging me. I am encouraging you if I tell you this in advance. If you know, it's like, wow, now I see why you get excited about the possible return of the Lord at any moment. I'm with you now. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. But look, he says there, their hearts will fail them as they see the things coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, notice, this is end time stuff. Then they, not you, they, the world, they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, now when these things begin, this is awesome, church family. If you're not impressed, just play along with me. Just help me out. Everything he's talking about is clearly linked to the 7-year tribulation period. And then he says in verse 28, now when these things begin to happen, when things that are going to unfurl the 7 years begin to get set up, what does he say? Jesus says this. Verse 28. It's called a parenthetical insert, by the way. It's a theological statement. Now, when you see these things, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Wow, that is great, great news. Wow, we see this. We see Russia coming into the Middle East. We see now the alliance. I don't know if I'll have the time to show you. There's an alliance now with, get this, listen. I said it last night. Islam, people misunderstand Islam. They think it's a religion. There's a facet of Islam that is a religion. Islam's way bigger than a religion. Islam is a theocratical, geopolitical belief system. It's a global, dominant government led by a theocratical rule. It's everything the world doesn't want. You know, people say, separation of church and state. Someday you're going to say, separation between mosque and state. And you're going to get your head cut off for saying that. Think I'm kidding? Watch, go look at the news today in Nigeria. I just love the fact that Jesus, right when everybody was just, they're listening to him and he's telling them, and this is going to happen, and the heavens are going to shake, and the seas are going to, men's hearts will fail them for fear, and the guys are like this, the disciples right there like, and then he says, yeah, you know, that's in the future, you know. But when you see these things begin to pass, begin to come together, when you see somebody go to the park, they set up two chairs on a table, they take out a chess board, and they start to pull out the parts, it's probably safe to assume there's going to be a chess match here in a minute. If they start positioning the pieces, looks like they're getting ready to go. Folks, look around the globe right now. Israel is the epicenter of the news, and God is setting up the pieces. And you have a front row seat. I think it's time. Listen, it's critical. Paul the Apostle said, nobody knows the day or the hour, but concerning the times and the seasons, my brethren, you won't have any need, I write to you. You sense it. You sense something's up. Remarkable. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see anything lacking in that? Man, I read that verse and I realize, boy, am I deficient. Seriously, because what a great two verses those are to tell me, keep growing, Jack. Keep studying, keep reading, keep sharing. But we can do it with confidence. John 16, verse 3 says, however, when he, that is the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Isn't that beautiful? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words, by the way, all you parents and grandparents should write this verse, these verses down for your grandkids and kids. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, verse 5, then, you want your kids to succeed? Do you want your grandkids to succeed? Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Man, every parent, we should have that in our house, right? Romans 13, again, are you guys okay?
Yes.
We're almost done. Not really, we're almost done. I still have time. What am I talking about? I have time. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go. Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, says the Apostle Paul, knowing. That's a huge assumption. Do we know? Knowing the time. We always, hey, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? Well, listen, Paul would say to us, well, you know what time it is, but do you know what time it is, spiritually speaking? Knowing the time, that now is the time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That word salvation means our entering heaven, our getting taken away, or our dying. However you get to heaven, by rapture or by rupture, you know your salvation is coming. It's nearer than when you first believe. Isn't that true? Isn't that a true statement? When did you come to Jesus? Some of you came to Jesus last week. Some of us came to Jesus in the dark ages. One thing is sure, we are closer to him now than yesterday. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. And all God's people said, yeah. Amen to that. Let us walk properly. It's God's will that you and I grow, and we grow deep, and that we grow now. That's the great thing about God's economy. You can go from zero Bible knowledge to knowing God in seconds, just by asking him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, reminding you that in the original Bible, there was no chapter verse breaks. Remember that? There were no numbers. There were all the words, but no numbers. The numbers were put in much later so that we could memorize scripture. The Bible says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven. That's awesome. With a shout. Can you imagine God shouting? There were big guys out there, big gnarly guys out there yelling at us yesterday. They sounded like little tiny girls compared to God. Compared to God. Hey, we're going to... They're like Goliaths over there.
Come over here, we'll tear you apart and kill you, you Christian.
And to God, God's listening from heaven, and it sounds like that. Hey, you guys, hey, come over here, we're going to beat you up in here. They had the tattoos and stuff, but they were kind of melting as they were crying. But the Bible says God is going to come down and he's going to shout. Wow. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Those who have died in Jesus, their bodies are going to pop up. I almost said Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart. They're going to pop up. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And then remember, there's no chapter breaks in the original Bible. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. To who? To those who are not walking in the light. He goes on to say that. Remarkable. Awesome. What about this? We live in a time that we want to make sure that we're getting our protection, folks, listen, and our comfort from God. I saw something the other day that really, really bummed me out. It was a commercial, folks, on TV. There is a new type of CBD. Is that the right word? Wait, no. What's marijuana, the oils in the... Is it CBD? I thought it was California border. So is it CBD for real? I don't know. Look, I don't know my drugs. The commercial said, you need to buy the latest, greatest from us. Here's the reason why. We are like 97% pure, whatever that means. Then this person is not a paid actor. It was a real testimonies. And the girl said, oh, listen, when I have a rough day, I kid you not, I'm going to find that commercial, I'm going to play it. When I've had a rough day, I come right home from work, and I drink it or whatever you do with it, and I tell you, I've become a better parent. Exactly. I'm thinking, how do you know? You're doped out of your mind. How do you know? Ask your kids. Let's ask your kids. And then the guy says, yes, business deals, all these things. And then when I get home, I can be completely focused on my wife. We should ask his wife. But here's my point. Who needs God? Who needs God when we've got CBD? Who needs God? Why do we need to pray when we can ask AI? Why wait on God when I can wait on Google? Right? Where are we getting our life source from? You want to get it from God. No other thing will sustain you. James chapter 5, verse 1. James 5, verse 1 says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver. Sounds like a commercial. Roslyn Financial. Right? Rush Gold. What are those shows? All those shows. Look, I'm not knocking gold and silver. God made it. But when you make it a god, that's a problem. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Isn't that interesting? Those things don't corrode. But maybe God's economy works different. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. In the last days, because currencies will fail. Gold and silver will be the rush, the push. And again, I'm not knocking it, but if you trust in it, look, I don't care if you have all the money in the world. I don't care if you have all the oil. I talked to a lady not too long ago. She owns 1,000 and some odd oil wells in Southern California. You know what's cool about it? She came to church. You know what's cool about it? She inherited those things. She was living fine without them. She inherited those things. She doesn't care about those things. You say, well, if I had an oil well, I wouldn't care about that thing either, as long as it's producing oil. No, she has found her hope and her trust in Jesus. That's the thing. And folks, listen, just be aware now when you watch the news. You know, the dollar, the this, the euro, the that. Buy gold, buy silver. Yeah, you know, maybe you should. Talk to your financial advisor. Here's the thing. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. You know, I'm going to go down to the store and buy some food with my gold in my hand. Let's see how far you get. It's dangerous times, if you think about it, that the Bible's speaking of. I'm going to give you some real quick stuff. I'm way over time, but gold, silver hit record highs as safe haven demand surge. Again, it's not a bad idea unless you trust in it. Then that's a problem. Next slide, I think we have another slide. Europe embraces digital currency, but not the U.S. Take a deep breath for a moment. It's like, whew, we dodged that one. Well, listen, maybe not for long, folks. I guarantee you, if Trump wasn't president, the U.S. would have signed up with the European digital currency. This is how close we are. And let's be honest, when's the last time you used $1, $1.50 coins? Who uses money anymore? Everything is swiping the card. Do you use money? Keep your hands down. There's some thieves that are here to get saved today. I'm kidding. I just couldn't resist that. I've got cash. I live in a cashless society. I have women in my life. I have my girls. I'm cashless. I use the thing. Now you just set the card on the thing and it reads itself. Right? But wake up, people. Revelation chapter 13. I told you earlier, write it down. The world is going to head towards a cashless society. That's ridiculous. That's what the Bible says for 2,000 years. That's what Europe's trying to do today. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Wow, totally out of time. No, I can't. Thank you. You're very nice. But I can't keep going because everybody will quit in the children's ministry. So, folks, no, I can't. Listen, we have to do this real quick. Folks, the issue is this both gives me, I'm elated to say it, and I'm also very, very sad to say it. I have very mixed emotions on this. But maybe the comfort to you is this. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't said it yet. You don't know. I'm teeing you up for this. The church had to navigate just life over the years of the attack on marriage. God says this is marriage, and governments and politicians said, no, it's not. We're going to redefine it. We endured that. And then abortion has always been the thing. God says, I love life. Let life live. Preserve those. Protect those who have no ability to defend themselves. And politicians say, be quiet. Get out of the way. We're going to kill that baby. Okay? All the stuff that happens, lawlessness, craziness, COVID, all along the way, the church is being parsed up and divided. Who believes in the Word of God and who doesn't? The very people who say, we don't get involved in politics, were the first churches to obey politics instead of God. And then BLM, church divided again. Genderism, LGBTQ, everything else that goes on behind it. Church is divided. Politics, church is divided. And now we have arrived at what I believe is the ultimate topic. I don't think there's another topic after this one. I think this is it. And I may be wrong, but what on God's calendar would be more important in Bible prophecy, warning us and telling us that you'll know the times and the seasons when Israel is that topic? Tell me, what is beyond that? Is it the deity of Christ? No, that has been tested for millennia. That's already settled. Is it the veracity of the Bible? Already settled. What's left? Now the global topic is Israel, folks. Guess what? Sounds like I'm starting to see the chess pieces set up for the opening throws of the book of Revelation. Amen. Pretty remarkable stuff, everybody. And so, here's why. I'll give you this verse and then we'll end it here. But I'm going to ask you to get your phone ready. Those of you who did not get the notes, you're going to want to get your phone ready. I'll show you why in a moment. The scripture says to all of us in Isaiah 40, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Did you know that we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Did you know that? Did you know that you and I are supposed to witness to the Jewish people? That doesn't mean you leave out the Arab or the Polynesian or the Colombians. You witness to everybody. But only in the Bible do you get to witness to a Jew from a Jewish book.
Amen.
Beautiful. It's amazing. And so, this will be the final verse before I give you another verse. No, you'll see what I mean in a moment. It's James 5, verse 7. In fact, you guys want to stand? That's how done we are. 6 minutes over. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Hey, how about this? Therefore, be patient. Church, you guys be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Did it rain last week?
Yes.
Did you hear that? I was waiting that tone was going to turn into a trumpet. Last week it rained, and in maybe a week, the hills will start to get velvety green. You know this because it rained. You can bank on it. The farmer puts seed in the ground. He knows it's going to come up. He waits patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Wow. Do not grumble against one another. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You know what's beautiful about that? It's a reference to Jesus. He's going to come back to judge the earth, not you, not me. That already happened at the cross. If you give your life to Jesus Christ today, if you say, I want you to be the Lord God Savior of my life, I want you to wash away my sins. I believe what you did on the cross was for me. I accept the fact that you love me. I don't love me. I have a lot of doubts as to why you should love me, God, but you said you loved me. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to receive your forgiveness. And that same Bible says you rose again from the dead. I'm going to trust you. Friends, listen. The judge, his hand is on the doorknob coming back to deal with this world. He's, according to Isaiah chapter 21, he's going to go like this. He's going to grab the doorknob. He's going to open it up a little bit. And he's going to say, hey, church, come up here. And we will go up with him into the chambers of the Lord. The word means in Hebrew, wedding chamber. I'm not going to say anything more than that. It's when the groom receives his new bride into his chamber. And he says, now shut the door behind you. I'll be back in a moment. That's what he says. And the scripture says, then he goes and pours out his indignation upon the earth. So So on the screens, these are just a couple of verses that prove to you that God is... No, wait, they're all there. Take the picture, because if you take the photo, you don't just get the reference, you get the actual verses printed out on your phone. And here's the thing. See all these scriptures? All of these scriptures say that Israel is back to stay. No one will remove her from her land again, that these are the last days, that the Lord with Israel back in the land will gather all of the nations against her in the last days because they will not want her to exist. All of it's here. He says he will cause the land to be fruitful and multiply and blossom. And he says that all of these things will be taking place in the very last of the last days that usher in his second coming to this earth. You should take those verses, and it will once and for all silence this ridiculous replacement theology baloney that is from the pit of hell. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.